Good. So we'll discuss in tonight's shiur what to do if you get a hazmona ledin, if somebody calls you to a din Torah, or how to get somebody else to come to a din Torah. If you have another person that owes something to you, or he owes you money, or you have a tefillah on him where you feel that there's something he's obligated to do for you, how you should handle that situation. So the first point which I want to make, just as a practical point, if you have a disagreement with another person, before you fire off a summons, a hazmana to a din Torah to the other person, you're supposed to approach the person and you're supposed to ask him, you know, just as a practical advice. This does not say anyone in Shulchan Aruch, but as practical advice, you say to him, look, we have this disagreement. Would you be interested to go and settle this matter by a rav? That's the first thing you should do. And the person will respond yes or no. And if the person says no, I refuse, you try to speak to him. And if you can't settle it with him, you say to the person, look, I don't have a choice. I'm going to have to send you hazmona to a din Torah. Now, the reason why that's worthwhile is because when a person gets a surprise letter from a Beis Din that says, come to Beis Din, usually the person goes off the handle and his response is not a rational response, and then it's very hard to deal with the person. So that's the first, just as advice from experience, that's the right way to do it. Now, even if you can't work it out and it has to go to Beis Din, you have absolutely no choice. So what you do is you send the person a hazmana, or hazmana otherwise is known to us as a summons to the din Torah. Now, just to get the names of the parties straight, the plaintiff is known as the toveya, right? That's the person who is asking for something, and the nitva is the defendant. Okay, so you have the toveya and you have the nitva, and you mazman him. That means to send him a summons to a din Torah. Now, it's also important to really, truthfully, to understand the history. What is a Beis Din? Now, the truth is, this shiur, I'm not going to go into this famous question, but what is a Beis Din? There was a famous discussion. Today we don't have a Sanhedrin anymore because Sanhedrin is not a smuchim anymore. The Bet Yosef tried to return that there should be a Sanhedrin, and you need to have certain qualities in order to make a Sanhedrin what you actually need to do. However, even though you have to have all of those qualities in order to make a Sanhedrin, he was not successful in doing so. One of the rules are that you need to have a person to make him into a somuch that should be a boki b'chol ha-Torah kula. And in the Beis Yosef's times, there were those that said that there's nobody in the world today, right? The Marikash and others wrote that's a boki b'chol ha-Torah kula. So if they wrote that in the time of the Beit Yosef, you know, you read his forum, I mean, I don't know how you say he wasn't a boki b'chol ha-Torah kula. Whatever that means, to be a baka b'chol ha-Torah kula. So, look, you know, today you can definitely forget about doing it. As a matter of fact, before I start to go more into the topic, I'll tell you a beautiful thought that I once heard. You're talking about being memana Beis Din. And this Shabbos, we just benched Rosh Chodesh. And this, tonight, tomorrow, we have Rosh Chodesh. Now, it's interesting. By Rosh Chodesh, you say as follows. First, you say the Yehi Ratzon. When you daven, that should be a good month. And at the end, you daven again for a good month. You mention which month it is, which day of the week is going to be the Chodesh. But in the middle, you say one line, which is an absolutely fascinating line. You say as follows. You say, Misha Osa Nisim Lavesenu, V'goloi Samei Abdes L'Cheres, Hu Yigaloi Sonu B'Korov, right? V'Kabetz Nidacheinu Mei Arba Kampes Ha'oretz, Chaverim Kol Yisrael V'Noimer Omen. They say the same nusach.
Exactly.
What is the nusach that they say?
We don't say chaver.
Oh, you do everything besides the chaver and kol Yisrael. So you say mishos nis lavisein v'galois and meavas lacheres. Right.
They give us this Rosh Chodesh beyom such and such.
Right. But it does not say chaver and kol Yisrael. Aha. So it's interesting. So I once heard in this shir in a Ashkenaz shul, obviously. And he was speaking about where this line came from. Let's hear the word that he said over, and then you'll figure out, you know, the Cheshvan, why the Sfaradim don't say it. Listen to a beautiful thought I once heard. Obviously, this is Drush, but listen to a very beautiful thought. There's that famous Machloikas, the Rambam and the Ramban, if one Smichim is missing, a Bezen Smuchim is missing, if you can return it or you can't return it, right? That's a very, very famous discussion. The Rambam held that you could return it because it says Hashiva Shavtenik Kavarishino, right? This was a major discussion. I'll read in a second. So the Rambam held you could do it, the Ramban said you couldn't, the Beis Yosef felt you could. If you read the Rambam, what are the rules that you need in order to make a Bezen Smuchim all over again? You know what you need to do to have a Bezen Smuchim? You need to have the following qualities. You need to have a person that this person is a Boki B'chol HaTorah Kula. That's what you need. One person that's a Boki B'chol HaTorah Kula. Right? Okay. Then you need another point. The second point you need is that one person should go, and this person should say this per every a group. One person of every group in Klal Yisrael should get together, and they should say Eidus on this person that he is Roy, that he should be the one that should be the part of the Sanhedrin. Now, I'll go try to do that today and get one representative of every group in Klal Yisrael to do that. You're going to have a pretty difficult time. I'm not even saying to sit in the same room. I go a step further, that they have to agree that this person is right to be mamana him, that he should be part of the... you see, today there's not even a taiva to make a Sanhedrin again. Okay? And they all need to agree on this one person. Right? And that was the debate in the time of the Beis Yosef, if he was the person or not. That was what happened at that point. This, I once had a very beautiful thought. We just finished being Mekadosh L'Chodesh. And how we Mekadosh L'Chodesh? We Mekadosh L'Chodesh through saying the Moilet, which is a calendar. Why do we do it through the Moilet? Because we don't have one of these central, we don't have a Bezen Smuchim. If we had a Bezen Smuchim, what would we do? We would send people out in the middle of the night, they would see the moon, right? Like the Gemara tells themselves Rosh Hashanah, they would come back, they would say Eidus, right? Kezerei V'Kadosh, and suddenly there would be a Rosh Chodesh. So the truth is, Rosh Chodesh mentioning is sort of a depression to us, you know, that unfortunately we need to do it in the second best way, we have no choice. So right after you finish saying the Moilet and Rosh Chodesh, you say as follows. You say, Mi she'asa nisim laveseinu v'gol oisam me'avdes l'cheiris. So you should know, Hu yigal oisonu bekorov. First we ask the Rabbi Shloilam to bring us the Gula Shleima. And if we'll have the Gula Shleima, we'll all get together in one room. And after we and then we'll have Bezen Smuchim, right? But if we're not Zoicha to the Bezen, to the Geula Shleima, and therefore we don't have Bezen Smuchim, right? So what's the only other Eitz according to the Rambam and to the Beis Yosef, how you make a Bezen Smuchim? By getting one representative of every group in Klal Yisrael together. So what do we do? Who Yigal Eitzon of Yikorev, but if not, V'yikavetz nidochenu me'arek kampes oretz, get one representative from every end, every corner of the world. And what else do you need? Chaverim kol Yisrael, they should all agree on one person, right? And then v'noyim ramein, so we can have a bezen smuchim v'mekadosh l'chodesh, truthfully like it should be done. That's the concept. I guess maybe the reason why you don't say it, because practically speaking, you know that the chaverim kol Yisrael won't happen, huh? You know that it's not actually happening. But that's the way to make a true Bezden Smuchim. Just to give you an update, the discussion we're discussing tonight is two points. What do you do if you get a hazmona to a din Torah? How do you respond? How do you react? That's number one. What are your rights? You know, can you ignore? Can't you ignore? And point number two we're going to discuss is, if somebody owes you money, how do you get him to din Torah to you? What are your rights? And we're discussing as the Teveya, right, which is the plaintiff, and as the Nitva, which is the defendant, right? We're going in both directions, how you deal with these issues. Okay, so now, the truth is that there's a discussion, the Torah writes the discussion, the Beis Yosef writes the discussion, it's really in the Gemara and Hamaniach and Bava Kama, this discussion. How does the Bezen today have a right if we lost the Bezen of Smuchim? So the Teretz is that we do, as Chazal described to us, Shlichosayu, the Kadmoi Kavdinon. The Chazal knew that even when the Bezdin won't exist anymore, because we don't have any Dayanim Smuchim, however, Chazal said, you know what? You need to still keep on ruling and being Dayanim, because society needs to continue. However, I will tell you that there are many restrictions. For example, Bezdin doesn't have power today on a Dover that's not Shchiach. For example, Shor Shenogach HaSaporo, Shor Shenogach HaSaodom, you come to Bezdin to try to collect your damages, Bezdin will say, we can't take your case. Because the Chazal only gave the right of Shlichasayu de Kadmoika of Dinon by things which commonly happen. By Milsa de Loi Shchicha, Bezdin does not have any power. All the things that I mentioned in Chazal, Knas, for example, are out the window today. Right? Kefal, Dalad Vehei, Boishes, Pagam, right? Moitzi Shemra, all of that.
How can you see many times in the Gemara that they did charge for Boshet?
That what?
They did collect Boshet.
Yeah, well, they had in the beginning. Wait, the times in the Gemara they had business
Mochem.
Right, the Amarim, they sort of, so there is a discussion on that in Hamaniach, and the first daf in Hamaniach, the Gemara discusses if you could collect all of the knas and the Gemara.
Not all, but some, like
so there were Zmanim where Chazal felt that even though they lost the power to collect knas, but Lamigda Milsa, which means if they felt something was destructive to society, then they had the power to do whatever they want. They wanted. It's very interesting. You read the Halacha in Choshen Mishpat, which the first 28 simonim of Choshen Mishpat discuss the power of the Bezen, which is a very interesting topic if you really understand it well. And you read in Simon Aleph, the discussion is where Bezen has power, where Bezen does not have power. That's Simon Aleph. But as you move on to Simon Beis, suddenly the Mechavad Dura must say that even though Bezen doesn't have power, but you should know that the Bezen can do whatever they would like, if it's Lamigda Milsa. Which means that there were times, you had a society, where a rule had to be made, Bezen needed to put their foot down, and they were literally able to do whatever they wanted. So you see a concept of Hefka Bezen Hefka, right? With the mechanics of Hefka Bezen Hefka. So it's interesting, but on the other hand, you know, it's like they say, proceed with caution, because if it's not really your power, and you're just doing it Lamigda Milsa, you really have to remain low-key, because that's not really what your role is. Okay, so... Right.
Even if there's, let's say, a car, it's a person. So
absolutely. That's shchiach.
It's in the same...
We will learn our halacha from those halachas, right? The question is, when you're driving a car, are you an Odom HaMazik, right? Which is a very fascinating discussion. Yeah, I mean, one of the, like, the entire which I see all the time was the person, not all the time, but I've had it a few times already, where a person takes a ride in another person's car, and he opens the door to get out of the car, and a car comes and knocks off the door. No, who has to pay? So, and that's a very important question when one car hits another car. And that question goes into another area of halacha, because today people have insurance. So where do you stand when you have insurance? When you want to sue a person's insurance, what's the story with that, right? I mean, there is a school of thought amongst certain dayanim that says that when you have a situation where insurance is available, so then it's like there's a tenai that if somebody needs my insurance, he's allowed to take it even without going to Beit Din. But then what happens if this then becomes complicated, because sometimes the insurance pays and the premiums go up, and it's a case that in Din Torah the person would not have to pay. So it could be you have to reimburse him for the difference of the premium, right? There are. We'll get to, listen. We're going to go through these all of the Bezrat Hashem. We hope to cover all of these halachas. But the point is that yes, those cases are shchiach, and those cases absolutely do exist. No question about it. 100%. Those cases do exist. Now, what happens when a person, take the simple case, he owes you money, right? The case that's brought down of the typical case of the Hazmona is the Malva Veloiva. You lent a person money, he owes you $1,000, keep on calling him, he doesn't pay. So you call, you keep on, you say, look, I have no choice, I'm going to have to take you to a Din Torah. So you call him and you take him to a Din Torah. How do you take him? So you have to send him a hazmona from a bezin, which is basically a summons. Now, it's very important to understand the summons from a bezin too. Historically, how was there a summons from a bezin? Historically, it was much simpler. I would say that in America, Baruch Hashem, we're very lucky. We have a lot of Torah, and we have a lot of other freedoms, but there's one thing we are missing, and we're missing the central system of a community that they had in Europe, and they had in all the countries throughout all the years. What's that? It's too big. Not the issue so much of too big. It's what happened is everybody...
It's
fragmented. And every second person, you say to him, I want to take you to my rabbi. He says, I don't know, your rabbi, I have my rabbi, right? And my rabbi disagrees with your rabbi, so and then it's finished. You really could never win in America. And that's one of the greatest problems that we have, not just in halachas of Din Torah, in every area, because there are many people that they pick and choose, and they decide, for this halacha I'm going to follow this rabbi, and for this halacha I'm going to follow this rabbi, right? And by the time they're through, you know, they picked, you know, they threw away half the halachas. You have to be very careful. And you have to really follow one central figure. Now, historically, and if you look at the Gemara, it was quite simple, because there was a Bezen de Mosa. The Bezen de Mosa, with the Gemara in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Gimel discusses it, would call you. Once they would call you, they would say to you, Rav Yid, come down today. That's what would happen. A Shliach Bezen would come, and the Shliach Bezen would come. The Bezen would sit twice a week, Monday and Thursday, right? The halachas, who goes first when you come to the Torah? Because they were sitting there waiting for you. You didn't get an appointment. They said, today we expect you in the Bezen room. You should come down and we're going to deal with your issue. And you had no choice. You had to go. And if you didn't go, they put you in Chayim. That's what happened. Now, you look at the Gemara, the Kuf Yud Gimel, the Gemara says they would send you three summonses. They would three times the Shliach Bezen would come down and say to you, come to Bezen. Now, the Shliach Bezen usually didn't see you. Left a message with your wife, left a message, the Gemara says, with a woman, with a young girl, a katana, he would leave a message. Just give the message to so-and-so that we're waiting for him in the Bezen. And if after three times you didn't show, they were Messiah of the person for not showing. Then the Gemara adds on that this concept that we send a hazmana three times till the person comes, this concept only exists for a person that's a ben kfar and he's sort of back and forth. He's always traveling. He's not always in the city. But if a person is there, then on the first day that he doesn't show up, you already put the serif. When do you say that you give him three warnings? That's because you assume he's not coming. But if you don't, you assume he never found out the information. But if the person is there and he got the news that the Bezen wants him, then the first day he doesn't come, you give him a serif, right? There's no excuse, I had a busy day in the office, I had a meeting. He should have showed up on that very day. Okay, now let's discuss modern day bringing somebody to a Bezden. Okay, now remember, it's just so important because in those days, you couldn't respond to the Shliach Bezden what you will typically respond today. What's a typical response from somebody that gets hazmonah to the Torah today? You know what the typical response is? If you pick that Bezden, is a raya that you have an in with that person. So since you have an in with that Bezden, I want to go to another Bezden, right? Correct? I mean, why else did you send the hazmonah from that Bezden? It can't be because you're Erluch, right? Nobody would assume that a person just simply went to a Bezden. So therefore, that's the first response today, which that response didn't exist. The only response Chazal discussed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in the Gemara in Bava Kama is that a person could have said, Neilech lebezen hagodl shebi Yerushalayim. I want to go up to the Sanhedrin and I want to get even better than Torah they can get in our city. And that was the only response he was able to give. And one more response, the response of Zablo, which we'll discuss in a few seconds. But there basically was no other response. Today, you right away, of course, respond that you want to go to another Bezen. Now, before I discuss that, I will tell you that even though we mentioned that the Gemara says that if you know the person's there in the city, you can write the Sirv immediately, but the Sma writes, the Nesivis writes this, the Rabbi Yisrael Urim V'Tumim writes this, that the Minig has become that you do not write a Sirv only if you send three Hasmonas. Okay, so that's practice. Now, that doesn't mean that people should say, okay, I can, and I know people that have done this. Right away, I mean, there are some people that are seasoned the entire goers. So, right away, when they get hazmonah, they know the first three they can ignore. By the end of the third, then they have to deal with it, right? And I know some people that advise people to do that. Now, that's the wrong thing to do, because, first of all, technically speaking, you're a Masarev after the first. It just happens to be that the minigas, we won't write it. Furthermore, if the Bezen knows clearly you got it, and they decide that there's a reason to push the Sirev, they do have the ability to write it after the first time, because that's the halacha me'ikar hadin. So, you know, the Emma says it's a very lamisha discussion. I'll tell you what the lamisha discussion is. The lamisha discussion is that if a Shliach Bezen comes back to Bezen after one time and he says to Bezen, the person's Masarev. So, he's neman on his words, and the Bezens are allowed to write a serif. And the Bezim do put him into Chayim in the time of Chazal, but they didn't put him into Chayim in that case when he would come back and when he told them to his face, I'm not coming. So, they would put him in serif, but they wouldn't write a serif. You know why they wouldn't write a serif? Not because there's a problem. Because who pays for the Hasmona? No, who pays for the Hasmona? Which Baldin? The Toiveya. Yeah, right. Who pays for the serif? Who pays for the serif? The nitva. Well, the Taveya didn't make a serif should happen. The nitva made the schar sofer. Okay, now obviously it's only going to come to an issue that he should pay when he comes to the Bezin to remove the serif. When he comes to the Bezin to remove the serif, so then they can say to him, okay, now pay for the serif that we have to write against you. But due to the fact that the schar sofer, the obligation is the obligation of the nitva, so therefore you don't write it until he did it three times, because you don't want an eid echad, the shliach Bezin, to be mechayiv momoin to the nitva. You understand? No, there is taka a whole discussion in the poiskim. How about if the teveya says, don't worry, I'll pay. Write the serif immediately and I'm going to pay. For the amavata, I'll pay. Oh, so it's a very interesting discussion. What happens then? What's that? Not really. Today it's done with a typewriter and it's printed up quickly. It's more of a standard form with a few words added here and there. So the truth is, this issue is not really an issue. It's become already the minig that people wait three times. That has become the minig.
Is there issur Torah if you don't show?
What's that?
Making an issur of Beit Din is
Mezid. Is the first of all, tzilus of the Beit Din is brought down. You're over on the das of the Torah, right? If the Bezin called you. Again, it would be important for me before I answer the question to go look up and find you the source. But it's definitely an Issur Torah, but I would have to find you exactly where. You see, like you said, it's fragmented. These Gemaras are sort of bits and pieces all over the place. There's no like one Gemara which discusses the whole procedure. I'm just choosing from the Gemaras in the end of Bava Kamma and in the beginning of Sanhedrin, in Zeboir and Sanhedrin. There's no question it should be an Issur Torah. There's no question it says clearly it's Zilus of the Beit Din, that it's embarrassing the Bezin, and it's logical to say that it's a Issur Torah, because it says that if you know Yivosel Hashoyver Dashiya B'Yam Ohem, or it says by right, Kechal Yishirucha, or it says Rakhil Hem Mishpat Bo Eli. So the fact what he's asking is the fact that he called you does obligate you to go. I would think yes. I mean, I would think yes. But I want to, before I answer. No, but you have to come with the Rabbonon or Medaraisa. That's what he's asking. You have to come with the Rabbonon or Medaraisa.
So, if you're going to say that the Bezdin is a Kalmatachim,
yeah.
The Bezdin says you have to come, they're just all the
Bezdin. Because Yeruch, but Yechash Yeruch is the Rabbonon, which is Ken Daraisa. To call it Daraisa, I think it's Daraisa.
Some people advise people not to come.
Advise people not to respond after the third. Advise people not to go at all. That nobody does. I mean, then.
No, I'm saying not to go after the.
You're saying this advice that they're teaching you how to abuse the system to wait for the three times. So you want to know, is it an Issur Rabbanan, Issur D'oraisa?
Because today the Beit Din doesn't have really.
We said political
power.
That's a very good point. Today, but forget the political power. Today we said the Gemara says Shlichasai de Kadmoy Kavdinon. So today it's maximum of the Rabbon. You can't say today it's D'oraisa anyways, right? Today, the whole koyach of Bezin today is shlich asai de kadmoy kav dinon, and that's why I discussed that on something which is not common. Milsa leishchich, they don't have power. So you see that they have a limited power, and they're not working as a Bezin smuchim anymore. So you're right; it's very likely to say it's not.
I'm saying even a suda rabbanan, is there a suda rabbanan of not showing up?
Shlich asai de kadmoy kav dinon.
Loi bo mesha.
Oh, no, one second. So now, everybody agrees that if you respond...
I don't feel like going today.
Today's not a good day. So the truth is that again, this halacha clearly, which you're mentioning, I don't recall to be discussed anywhere in Choshen Mishpat, but the accepted practice in the Bezin is that if a person responds, yes, I am coming, unlike in those times when it was a Bezin Demosa, and today the power is more limited, the person says, yes, I am coming. But he says, but I can make it next week Tuesday. As long as it's a reasonable amount of time, the Bezin will accept it. That's something. And the nitva, the defendant, will be the one who will have the ability to make that decision. Now, what happens if you have a person that actually doesn't show up after three times? After three times, he doesn't show up. He doesn't come to the Torah. No, so what do you do with this person who didn't show after three times? So at that point, two things happen. Number one, the Bezin writes a sirif, and a sirif means that this person is a misariv milavoy ladin. He refuses to come to din Torah, and then there's in Yerideya a simin shin lamadalid, and all the alochas in simin shin lamadalid apply to him. It's not a full cheirim; it's a half a cheirim. You're not supposed to stand within dalad amos from him, so that's why people don't let him into a shul. It's not that he's not allowed to be part of a minyan; he could be part of the minyan, but the problem is that since you can't be within dalad amos from him. So what are you going to do? I mean, it's like 36 square feet around him. No shul is going to sell that many seats, except if it's a very wealthy Masarif, that he can buy a whole section in the Beis Medrash. But what's going to happen is that it's not practical. So that person already is considered a Masarif. Now, just to continue with all of these thoughts, there is a halacha that Bezdin needs to be Shmoya Bein Achechem. Bezdin needs to hear amongst the parties, right? Which means that a Bezdin is not allowed to listen to one Baal Din, not in front of the other Baal Din. Terrible, terrible mistake. And the biggest mistake a Rav could make is if a person calls him, and listen, you know, I have, very often people call me with questions in Chosh and Mishpat. And they say, this and this and this and this and this happened, and therefore, what should I do? And I always say to them, what does the other side have to say? How am I going to rule if I only hear one party? And everybody's, you know, has negias when it comes to himself, and everybody feels that they're right. And it's the hardest thing to do. You can advise the person to an extent, but to give a ruling by only listening to one party, you're not allowed to. Not only that, you're over an issa of Shmoya Ben Achechem, right? Shmoya Ben Achechem is Shvatatem Tzedek. Listen amongst the two of you, and then you can give a honest judgment. You can't give an honest judgment if you don't listen to the two parties. It's impossible. Now, when you come to the Bezdin, so what do you say to the Bezdin, right? What's the first thing you say to the Bezdin? You say, I have a problem, he owes you money. Now, why is Bezdin allowed to listen to that? Bezdin can't listen to one party without the other. The answer is Bezdin is not really listening to anything. They're just listening to a taina. They're listening to a complaint. They're not listening to the details. Yes, he owed you, he didn't owe you, he paid you, he didn't pay you. What his response is, they're listening just to the basic detail. So therefore, that Bezdin is allowed to accept. You know, one of the issues that I deal with is people come over to me, they ask me a whole bunch of questions, and after they ask me a whole bunch of questions, they see how I would rule an issue, and then when it comes to a dentira, they pick me for the dentira, and then when it comes to the ruling, I rule the other way from them. Right? So then they say, but I asked you beforehand. Now, one of the halachas is that a dayan is only allowed to sit on a din Torah if the question, the story was not given to him beforehand. So if the person just posed the question to me as a general discussion and without me knowing the details and without me understanding that this, his case, so then I'm still allowed to sit as a dayan. But if a person comes and he tells me his whole problem and his whole side of the story, then I have to recuse myself because I'm not allowed to be the dayan on that case anymore. A very complicated issue comes up. What happens when you need a ruling of Bezdin effective immediately? Now, how could Bezdin do that, right? Bezdin can't do that because I need to hear both parties. Let me give you an example where that would happen. For example, you have another person went and he damaged you in business, and he grabbed away a very large chunk of business from you, and he's going to sell it tomorrow. So if he's going to sell the business tomorrow, and once it's sold, you feel it's going to be sold at a loss, and you're going to be out of your business, so what do? Can you block him that he shouldn't be able to sell the business or not? So what are you going to do? You're going to go to Bezdin. But there's no time to have a yeshiva's Bezdin in one day, right? It's impossible. So what do? So Bezdin has to issue a ruling. But Bezdin can't issue a ruling. Why can't Bezdin issue a ruling? Because they can't listen to one party, right? So there suddenly it gets a bit complicated. So there is something that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, which is called a ikul, right? And, an ikul is a temporary restraining order. Exactly, that's what it is, 100%. It's an, in legal terms. But that's how you know. I don't know if you got the TRO, if you got the ikul. I'm not sure which way it went. But that's exactly what it is. But the ikul is a problem because al pi Torah, right, the courts can accept, you know, one baldin shloi b'fnei baldin chaveri, but the Bezdin can't do that. So the halacha is that if it's a case where the Bezdin sees a tremendous hefsid, the Bezdin can do it, but on one condition, only for a very short period of time, which means anytime an ikul is written, you'll notice the Bezdin gives a date. Usually the Bezdin can give you a date in 3 weeks from now because they're too busy. But when there's an ikul written, they need to give you...
What stops the guy from doing it?
Ah, so you want to talk about frivolous lawsuits, right? What stops people? Okay, we'll get to that soon.
Does the Bezdin have the power to actually stop?
What stops the guy who?
The person who is over.
The guy gets the thing. Says, listen, and I got a deal. And he goes through with the deal anyway. It's not like a
right.
Court, you freeze his assets. And then,
if the Bezdin writes an ikel, right, and you don't listen to the ikel, firstly, you're a masarif effective immediately. There's a machabalit in Shulchan Aruch that says it. That's number one. Secondly, if the Bezdin sees that the person is being over on the ikel, right? Then they can give a hetar kois immediately, because I was about to mention that a mesarev, besides becoming a mesarev, it comes along automatically with a hetar kois. Every time a teveya gets against the nitva a siruv, he can go immediately into court. Now, therefore, if the bezin feels the need to do so, they'll give him an ikkel, and if they feel the person's going to be over on the ikkel, they give him the ability to go into court to stop the ikkel. Okay, now, the truth is, I will add something more to this discussion. It's not so poshut that a person that has this kind of situation, I'm not going to say it as a psak, a person should ask a rav in each individual situation, so that's why I don't want to say it as a psak, but it's very likely that a person that's simply going into court for a temporary restraining order for enforcement, and then he's going to come to Bezdin to fight his case, is allowed to do so. You understand? If you have such a situation, all you want to do is go into court as a temporary restraining order, and then you're going to actually fight your case in court later, and a chanam is a strong tzad, you can do so, but ask a shayla before you actually do it. There's a statute of limitation of a psak. I'll tell you as follows. Now, that's a very good, interesting question. And I invite all your questions, because the truth is, you know, see, a lot of things which I accept as a pashtus, because I deal with this on a regular basis, it's important for people to know. So any questions you have about how the mechanics, how Bezdin works, you should ask. Very important question. But before I get to that question, I'll ask you a different question, and then I'll answer yours. What toikif does a Bezdin have bezman hazeh? Bishleim, we discussed that at the time of Chazal, Bezdin had toikif. Why did Bezdin have a toikif? Because Bezdin was Bezdin the Mosse, they were the Bezdin of the city. Today, you have a shul, and three rabbonim get together and they make a Bezdin. What gives that Bezdin power? Right? So the answer is that the dayanim will only sit down to the case if the parties sign binding arbitration. Right? What is it that's, you know, anybody that's an attorney, Article 7500, right, gives a power to the Bezdin as if it was a court of arbitration. In the court system today, there also are regular courts, and there also are courts of arbitration. In the Diamond District, the movie and film industry, there are certain, right? And by the way, that's a very interesting question, which I'll address Bezdin Hashem at another time. A Yid has no right to go to a court, but to a court of arbitration, it's not so simple. It could be a Yid does have a right, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, right? Nemonim alai, zayin roye boka, right? They would pick experts in the industry. The issue of going to Akois was an ikka because they were miyaka the elilim. It was pilois, like it's discussed. When you give the country the cheshivas, that they are the law over the Torah, then you have a problem. But when they went to a court of arbitration, it's lav dafka, it's also. If a person's on 47th Street, and the derech is that disputes are dealt with at the Diamond Club in the court of arbitration, it's papashas muta to go. Now, the reason why I don't want to say this as a blanket statement is because there are certain courts of arbitration that are literally governed by totally the same rules as the courts are ruled, and it's simply an arm, it's an extension of the courts. There are certain arbitrations that are independent court of arbitrations, and on the other hand, they're recognized by the government. So it's a dakistik achilik, and that's why I don't want to give any blanket statements. I will tell you that a lot of rabbanim have said that 47th Street, you are allowed to go to the Diamond Club to have the arbitration that's not called akoyis. It makes a very big difference, I'll tell you why. You read a contract, for example. I read certain contracts that people write. So they show it to me before they strike a deal, because they want to know if it will be legally upheld. Let's say you have a contract. In the contract it says if there's a dispute amongst the parties, it should come to a Bezdin. That's a wonderful contract. If there's a dispute amongst the parties, it should be dealt with in civil court. Is that clause upheld or not? You made a deal.
No.
Huh? 100%. It's absolutely not upheld and it's null and void. It's alive in the Torah Mamash. Right?
No,
correct?
But
if you're right, it should come up to a court of arbitration.
What's
that?
If the Beis Din rules and the guy and it's just right in the contract, you're allowed to go to Beis Din anyway. They allow you to go to our house after the
but then you have to conclude the case by Beis Din. includes the case by Bezdin, then the Bezdin gives you permission to enforce it in court. El Chanan?
That's plausible.
What's that?
You could put this kind of...
Of course, but as per the instructions of the Bezdin.
For sure.
So that's 100% okay, because that's just enforcement.
Just to enforcement.
So now, just to go back, now let's answer your question. A ruling of binding arbitration is valid for up to 1 year. That's true. Oh, so very good. So people say to me, I don't want to go to Bezdin. Why don't I want to go to Bezdin? Because the person I know doesn't have money. It's going to take him 10 years to pay me. And since it's going to take him 10 years to pay me, the Bezdin ruling is only enforceable for up to 1 year. He'll drag the payments for 1 year and then he won't pay. Classic argument. So how do you deal with this? What you do is you ask the Bezdin will wait a year or 3 years, depending on what the statute of limitation on the binding arbitration is. And at the end of that time, they will turn to the nitva, right, to the defendant that owes the money, and they will ask him to write a confession of judgment. Confession of judgment means that the nitva is moida in court that he owes this and this amount of money. Bezdin forces him to write it. The Bezdin asks him to be mashlishit beforehand. What do you mean? The Bezdin has a power. The Bezdin will be messiah of him if he refused to write it. And then the Bezdin gives permission to go on 4-step second court before the year is over. The Bezdin has no problem. This way, I want to tell you something. There's ways to deal with all these issues. I'm going to tell you something more. There's not only ways to deal with all these issues, but in my experience, you are better off going to Bezdin than going to court. Expense-wise, time-wise. You're better off. I'll tell you about a story that I had 4 years ago. 4 years ago,
I... You didn't do that.
What's that?
You said you didn't do that.
Listen, if you didn't, what should I tell you? I mean, the Bezdin can try to enforce it. There are different ways for the Bezdin to deal with these issues. But I'll tell you other ways. But let's first, I want to go to the next point. What happens if you get a Hazmona Ledin? And after you get the Hazmona, this is very important because we're not complete with our discussion of sending a Hazmona, receiving Hazmona, because we didn't discuss a totally different body of Bezdin. That's called the Zabla system, right? We didn't discuss the Zabla system. Let me discuss with you.
Zabla is arbitration?
Huh? Everything is arbitration. Everything gets power through arbitration. Nobody today will sit down and
this is the
what's that?
Nobody will tell you this is the deal.
Yeah, no. Again, you want to know if it's a din or pshara? That's what you're asking.
Right.
If you read the shtori berurin what's that? No. That's a totally different issue. I'll address it quickly, and I'll go back to discuss our issue because I want to before the end of the shir won't be complete if you don't understand the zabla system because then you won't know totally how to go to Bezdin or how not to go to Bezdin. If you read the Shtori Beruin, which is the binding arbitration agreement that we do sign, and we sign it in order to give the Bezdin to have the full toikiv in both ends, in Akoyis and according to Torah too. Because according to Torah, even if you want to say that the Bezdin doesn't have a power today, but if it's Kiblu Alayu, if the parties accept the Bezdin, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, then they do get the full power. So what you do is that the Bezdin makes the parties sign binding arbitration, and now they accepted the Bezdin, so now the Bezdin already has full toikiv. Okay, now, you want to know if the Bezdin today paskins din, or if the Bezdin today paskins pshora. I don't know why everybody says Bezdin paskins pshora. It's not true. All right? It happens to be the Gemara says mitzvah lefasher. The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah for Bezdin to attempt to make a pshora. You attempt to make a pshora. But if you're not successful at the pshara, then you paskin. Now, there's only a certain amount of time you're allowed to make pshara, which means pshara you're only allowed to make until the Bezdin knows what the halacha is. Once the Gemara says, right, that after it gets to the point where the Bezdin knows what the ruling is going to be, the Bezdin can't make a pshara anymore. Then the Bezdin paskins, if you read the Shtori Berurim well, it says, pshara hakroiva ledin. Now, what do those words mean? What do those words mean? Those words mean that there's no Bezdin today that can clearly say that they know the exact halacha. That's firstly. That's what the Shach writes. Secondly, there are certain cases that don't have a perfect answer. Sometimes you have to come on to a certain amount of pshara. So that's the pshara hakroiv l'din. So truthfully, it's din. Bezdin today is din. And you can ask for it when you come to Bezdin. Some people can go to Bezdin and say to Bezdin, make a pshara. But in a regular case, most cases, the parties request they want the actual halacha, and they ask for din, and they get din. But it's pshara krayv l'din for whenever there's a gray area. That's the reason. Okay, now, let's just discuss the Boira system. What happens if he sends you an hazmona to Bezdin Aleph? You don't like Bezdin Aleph, he sent you the hazmona from. So you respond, you want to go to Bezdin Beis. So he says, no, I'm not asking. The Tevei says, I'm not asking to the Nitva's Bezdin. So then the Tevei picks another Bezdin, and the Nitva picks another Bezdin, and we'll go in circles. Whichever Bezdin the Tevei wants, the Nitva doesn't want. Whichever Bezdin the Nitva wants, the Tevei doesn't want. No? How do we deal with that situation? That's the next question. So what you do is there's a system called Zabla, right? Take out the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'll show you exactly. It's a Mishnah. Zabla, right? No, but now you're going to have a big question, right? How do you understand the Boyer? Stein Boyer, right? That's, by the way, a very interesting question. Who gets to choose, right? Is it the parties that pick the Shulish, right? Or is it the Dayanim that pick the Shulish, right? That's an interesting question. That's a machloikus in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah, Daf Chav Gimel. Okay, Dinim Amenis B'Shloisha, Zeh Boyer Loi Echad, right? The Tevea picks one Dayan, V'Zeh Boyer Loi Echad, the Nitva picks a second Dayan, V'Shneyen Boyer Lehem Oid Echad, right? The two, Remeya says, it's the two parties that pick the third. The Chacham say, Shnei Dayanim Boyerlem Oidechas, right? There's a big question. The Poskim, it happens to be that the practice is Bezman Hazeh, that the Boyerim do consult with their parties and ask them who to choose. It's a big discussion what went and where, but I'm not going to go into that discussion. But let me ask you a question. So the way you understand the Boyer system, what is the Boyer? Is the Boyer a Dayan? Or is he a judge or an advocate? What is the Boyer? The Boyer is a judge? He's a judge. Huh? What's that? Oh, so you say he's a Dayan, right? Okay. So which means, if you have a Toein, for example, who's an attorney, the attorney argues on your behalf. Let's say as the attorney is speaking, he sees an argument that's better than your argument. Can he say it? Absolutely. Let's say your Boyer sees an argument that's better than your argument. Can he say it? Absolutely not. So what did you really accomplish by getting a Borer rather than getting a regular Dayan?
Because now you're happy, at least he's not in on
So you have one that's in with... Is he in with you or is he not in with you?
No.
You're just comfortable with him.
You're just comfortable. Yeah. So you're comfortable, so you have
you
one out of the three.
He's not in with him.
But the other one is in with him. So what did you accomplish?
What?
So the other one's in with him.
You have somebody who you
know, reality is in with you, and the other one's in with the other guy. I mean, if you pick them, whether it's
obviously, if you're picking one that's in with you, the other guy is picking one that's in
reality.
With him, huh?
That's okay. The reality. You can't
what's
get
that? Okay. So it's very, very. The Gemara says over here that the Boyer system is a wonderful system. Zok Reb Zeira. Take a look at Reb Zeira right before the two dots in this Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mitoich sheze boyer loy dayin echad, veze boyer loy dayin echad, v'shneim boyer lehem oid echad, yotza hadin la'amitoi." The Gemara says, "Boyer is a tremendous system. Don't think that Boyer is a worse system than the regular din Torah system. It's going to come out a true din Torah." So Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, "Yotza din emes la'amitoi, the tzaisi balidinin." The person that ends up paying says, this is wonderful. I chose him to be the Dayan. The Dayan that I chose ends up ruling that I have to pay. So the Dayan that I chose ends up ruling that I have to pay, so then of course I have to pay. So it's going to be an honest din Torah. Now the truth is there's a little problem with this because the Dayanim only have to rule two out of three. And when they write the Psak Din, they don't write, they're not allowed to write which Dayan ruled which way. They need to come out as a unanimous Beit Din. Okay, so it's very interesting. Look what the Rashi says further. Now take a look at this part of Rashi. The Dayanim themselves, Noiche Dayton Lahapech B'schus Shneim, Mepnei Sheshneim Biram, right? And you see Taisus at the end of...
That's closed doors, behind.
Behind closed doors, each dayan is comfortable to argue on his the behalf of his baldin. Because they chose them, they feel sort of an obligation. Okay, that's what Rashi says. And look at Tosfot at the end. Tosfot says as follows. At the end of the bottom Tosfot, he says, V'zesh ha-shishi yosnil amitib b'loi ivis. She-yehei ha-inyin shokel, it's equal. V'loi yirbu ma-hapchin l'choiva, oi ma-hapchin l'schus, v'loi l'hepach. You know, it's usually in Torah, all three might end up sort of just leaning in one direction. Here, everyone's going to have to view every angle. Why? Because you'll feel an obligation. He hired me. So since he hired me, I better go and make sure that I protect his interests. The other one says the same thing. And the two of them present a case to the Sholish.
It's not the same thing as an Apech.
Right, what is it?
Protect the interest is, sounds like
right, but it's bias. It's bias.
Apech is maybe that's what, it's not bias, it's to look maybe
exactly, so what you need, what's the practicality? Each borer goes home, takes out Shulchan Aruch and takes out all the truths for him and reads the case and thinks of all the tzadim and halacha that his tzad can be right. The other boyer does the same thing, and then the two boyerim sit down in front of the shulish, who looks at all the angles, and that's how we can make the ruling. Right? That's what actually happens. So in a way, the boyer system is a better system than a regular dentire. In a certain way, if it's done in an elch oifen, I'll just read to you the lashon which we have here in the Shulchan Aruch. I'll just quote it to you. It's getting a little bit late, so I'm not going to take out the Shulchan Aruch here. It says the Sma writes, and he brings it down from the Rosh. He says the boyim don't become like the titaina for the baledinim. He says the haina sheyamdu b'mkoyim litoin. They can't argue on their behalf. Avuram sheheim atzram misipokim mikomak and noisen leiv lahaven hetiv b'divim mishaboroi im yesh lo ischus mitzad hadin. Very, very important words of the Rosh. The Rosh writes these words here that he looks in his tzad, right? Mitzad hadin, is there anywhere to defend him? Now, Rabbi Kivega discusses a very interesting case that Rabbi Kivega had. He had a Teveya pick the boyer. After the Teveya picked the boyer, the Nitzvah picked the boyer. Turned out that the Teveya's boyer and the Nitzvah's boyer were relatives. So now, remember, the boyer of Bezdin. So one of the boyer need to step off the entire. So since one of the boyer needs to step off the entire, whose boyer steps off? Okay, now, you'll see when it comes to the entire, the Nitzvah, the defendant, has the last word very often because he has the ability to choose first. So the Nitzvah, Rabbi Kivega says, since he's turned to the Teveya, listen, you want to take me to the entire? This is my boyer. You don't like it, you pick yourself another boyer. So the Nitzvah is the one that will win that battle. Now, a very interesting question that comes up is the following question. Mitzad halocha. You take a look at the Pischa Tshuva, brings down in the name from the name of the Panam Irois, a beautiful tshuva that says that the boyer has no difference in halocha than any other dayan, and therefore the boyer can't sit beforehand and talk to his party. The boyer needs to come into the dentire like a regular dentire, and he cannot talk to his party beforehand to hear a story. That's what the Panam Irois says. Well, it makes sense. If you truthfully view it as a regular bezdin, then that's the story. Now, I'll tell you practically that most boyerim today speak to the parties beforehand. They have a meeting, and the Panam Irois adds, he says, and of course, he says, they can't take money for it. How could they take money?
Meetings throughout the whole
entire. The boyerim are constantly meeting with their parties. So what's going on over here, right? So it's fascinating how this halacha became. It's a little hard. I will tell you that there are certain dayanim that will not meet with their parties, by the way, beforehand. But most do. And it's fascinating where this halacha came from, and the only source I found for it is an Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan writes something it's interesting. He writes something which is like an avias without any source. He says that it's become the accepted minig that the boyer meet with their parties. And then he says that since one party does it, the other party has to do it because or else it won't be fair. So he adds on to that. And what's that? And then he says afterwards, he says since that's become the minig, and since both tzadim do it, so it becomes like the tzadim are kibli aleim to have a dentira under those parameters. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't discuss if they can take money for that time or not, but many of the boyerim seem to accept that they could, right? Because I've spoken to very big dayanim who said that they could. And the basic on this Aruch HaShulchan. The truth is, if you really follow the halacha well, the Aruch HaShulchan is a pella. But look, that has become the accepted practice. Now, if the other party won't do it, it's better you don't do it either. But if the other party will do it, so then you're at a disadvantage. So then, and a chanami, you're not really left with that much of a choice. I'll just conclude with one very interesting tshuva in Igros Moshe. Reb Moshe has a tshuva if you can be teveya another person to Boiris. Which means, the way we understand Boiris from the Shulchan Aruch is that you're called to come to Din Torah, and you refuse to go, and you don't agree in the Bezin, so it gets created a Boiris system. Rav Moshe discussed a different question. He says, how about if you as the teveya walk in, and you don't send us money from a regular Bezin, you say, I am mazmin you Din Torah to a Din Torah of Boiris, and please respond to me right. This is my Boiris, please respond to me right away with your Boiris. Rav Moshe writes that it's a good tviya, and you can be masar of the person for this tviya if the person refuses to pick a boyer. I will tell you that others disagree. There are tshuvas of others. I think the Minchas Yitzchak possibly disagrees. The Shevet Halevi possibly disagrees. But Rav Moshe held that you can even not, you can do it. The truth is, if you read the Mishnah doesn't say that Zebor Li'echad follows a prerequisite of going through a regular boyer system. The Mishnah says simply that is a choice of a venue that you can, and the Mishnah seems to say that that's one of the mahalchim which works. Okay, but I think we at least started to give a general overview how you take another person to Bezin, and how you respond, and what your choices are between the regular Bezin system and the Boiris system. Good.
Okay. When you go, if somebody is